We live in the declining days of the universe's star making, in the early days of the universe's long decline. Scientists worry about what is to become of human life beyond even the long lifetime of the sun. But maybe this is our time in the universe. To be concerned about mankind's fate to the ends of time is a cover for that eternal dread of our own mortality. We do not worry about the early days of the universe when we did not exist as humans, just as we do not worry about our non-existence before we were born. So why are we so exercised about what might become of us in the far reaches of time, except out of a vain desire to control the fate of the universe itself? We might be less bullying of the universe if we were more aware that the universe, as we understand it, is not separate from us. Try as we might, and however we describe it, we are inseparable from the universe. The universe is portable. The possibility of an address in the universe depends on what we mean by the word universe, what we mean by the universe, and what we mean by in the universe. Where we are in the universe all depends on what we mean by we. As human beings, we are separate egos looking out on a world of separate things. I am alone with the beating of my heart. Science, however, is a collective experience of the world that makes the we ever more inclusive. And although science too starts off from the premise that the world is made of separate things, it progresses by unifying this separateness into a universe of inseparability. Science tells us that there is a we that is descended from a single mother who lived 150,000 years ago. Our DNA shows us that there is a we that is all living things, all sharing the same DNA code, 3 billion years of evolving life. But why stop there? We are, everything is, woven out of primordial hydrogen that filled the universe around 14 billion years ago. Nor need we rest there. We are, everything is, evolved symmetrical radiation. And before that, we are something that is beyond whatever before can mean. I am here, you are there, we are everything and everywhere, they are us. To desire an address is to desire status, but the notion of privilege becomes meaningless in a world that is all of a piece. Many scientists do not expect science ever to describe that wholeness. But the scientific methodology does at least point towards the unity of phenomena that we call the universe. Ultimately, this belief is not so very different from the direct apprehension of life we call mysticism, or which in other forms is the object of the life of the artist, philosopher, or theologian. Scientists break up into pieces and lay reality along a line called progress. For the artist and the mystic, reality is all of a piece, time is circular, and the word progress is meaningless. Picasso is not an advance on Titian, nor a diminution. But whatever way we come at reality, it's all a question of looking and seeing. And even if science were one day to describe all that there is, unless it is to deny all other forms of truth-seeking, science and art and religion and philosophy must eventually meet up. As the American astronomer and physicist Robert Gastrow has predicted, the scientist who has climbed the highest peak may find, as he pulls himself over the final rock, that he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. In a modern world obsessed with certainty and things eternal, we might learn to live in the uncertainty of an unending scientific process without necessarily believing in unending scientific progress. We want to believe that things last forever, whether it is love, life, God, or the laws of nature. But death, as Freud continually reminds us, is what certainty looks like. Perhaps the best we can hope for is to live in uncertainty for as long as we can bear it.